Today we celebrate motherhood as a holiday, and we're in church doing it, which is appropriate because it started in church. Those of you know, it goes back a little over 100 years, 1907. A gal named Anna Jairus had a memorial service for her mother in a church. But it went a little beyond that, just a normal memorial service. It really came to honoring moms. And 7 years later, I think it was 1914, Woodrow Wilson made it a holiday to where it is actually the second Sunday of May. And so that's the history of it, and we celebrate it as well. You know, it's interesting because it's been 100 years and we're celebrating this. And for me, you know, as a pastor, I've been celebrating it for, you know, close to three decades. And every time there's a Mother's Day that comes around, I kind of go back and look at old sermons and see, what was the temperament? It was interesting because probably 30 years ago, the topic I remember was, if you're a mom, stay-at-home mom, then you kind of weren't significant. You get a corporate job and then you'll have value. And so we preached on significance during that time. Then there was another phase where the world of moms became competitive. My kid versus your kid. My kid can speak three languages by the age of five and, you know, do quantum theory or whatever, right? And this whole value thing. And so we preached on where our value needs to be. And then, you know, not too far in the past, there was the idea of the helicopter mom. The one that worries, the one that controls, and so we'd have to preach on, you know, trusting God and releasing our kids to Him, and so motherhood in a lot of ways has been challenged with different cultural pushbacks, but I could argue today it probably has the most cultural pushback. In fact, motherhood is being defined by many as being oppressive. That it's something not only not significant, but it's something that boxes somebody in. And of course, with all the gender discussion going on and defining what that is or isn't, there's a lot of redefining of what motherhood is today. So I thought it'd be appropriate to bring a bit of clarity to it, and my hope is with some clarity, there'll be some encouragement. I've entitled this morning's message, Motherhood 101, and we're gonna look at some clarifying truth about being a mom. And to do that, we're going to look at a couple different passages, one in Genesis and one in 2 Timothy. But to really get that foundational clarity, you really have to go back to the very beginning, which in our Bible is the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, where we get instruction on the creation account, six-day creation account, and where God made the heavens, God made the earth in terms of habitat and plants and oceans and seasons and livestock, and created man. And we're told in Genesis 1:28, God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." By the way, notice the plural there, the Trinity, another topic, another day. "And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male, female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." Okay, so be fruitful, we know what that means. Basically, have babies. And it's not just limited to you two, Adam and Eve, male and female, but have more males and females. Have babies, multiply. Right? And this is kind of, you know, inherent in all of nature, right? I mean, livestock have babies, you know, birds have babies, whatever. So this instruction here. But we're also told, I think it's important to note, why God created woman. Because when you read through this account, you see that God created man first. But then after that, the text says, then the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." So in other words, it's not good for a bunch of men to be alone, or in this case, one guy to be alone. Now, we don't know why it's not good. We don't get that perspective, but you can imagine. It's just probably just not good. you know, you just see all kinds of reels on social media when a bunch of guys are alone. They're doing weird stuff, jumping off, you know, houses backwards and trying to land on their feet or whatever. My wife always says that when we'll go through some reels and guys are doing the crazy, you know, golf carts off jumps and whatever. She goes, you never see women doing this. And it's true. That's why we need women to make us good, because we'll kill ourselves if we don't. So anyway, the text says, yeah, that women's are going to make things good. They're going to make Adam good. They're going to make, and the context of this, we're told, is in Genesis 2:24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. This is read at weddings all day long, and it's a picture of marriage. So we have this perspective of God creating different male and female. They're not the same. Because if they were the same, then they would both not be good. But the fact that man alone, we need something different, okay, to make it better. And so the motive behind that is there. And God's instruction to them is to have babies, multiply. Don't just stay here, but have babies, which means you're going to become a mom and a dad, okay? And the environment for this to take place is in the context of marriage. There it is. And so that's foundational. And it's kind of weird, it needs clarifying, but it is. It's a clarifying truth about being a mom this morning. Number one on your outline, if you're taking notes, it's a God-given role. Motherhood is a God-given role that was designed and created by God, which means it's technically a divine role. Women have a special place in God's heart because they made man good. But women who become moms have a special place in God's heart because they make families good by definition. And we can see that they are physically and uniquely designed for this. Now, it's weird we have to say that. If I would have said it to you 30 years ago, you'd have gone, pretty obvious. Today, not so much. It appears that being male or female is up to your decision. And that's even the case when it comes to being a mom or a dad. I was reading about an individual named Trevor McDonald. Is a transgender man in a same-sex relationship. So by conventional standards, it says, Trevor McDonald is a mother, both biologically and socially, okay? So transgender man means biologically a woman who identifies as a man, okay? But is a woman biologically and socially. And the text says, he gave birth to his baby. He stays at home as primary caregiver, and he breastfeeds, but Trevor is a man and a father. No, he isn't. Well, yes, he is. No, he isn't. Well, you can decide for yourself. No, you can't. This was God's decision. God defined it. In fact, I would argue when you try to redefine it, it's an act of pride and arrogance, and you're trying to replace the divine. It's weird we're saying this. But we said it. Are you going to go down this road, Mark, on Mother's Day, the gender identity? Not really. I'm not going to go too far. In fact, Facebook Live, 1 o'clock on Tuesday, we do these live. We'll go over this topic. Tune in. We'll take the conversation there and answer your questions. Should get spicy. I guess. It's kind of crazy that it is spicy. But it's a God-given role. And I would argue, and I even quoted earlier with the baby dedications, so are our kids. Psalm 127, which I'll just quote to you now, sons are a heritage from the Lord, children are a reward from him. So not only is it a God-given role, the idea of the family is a divine, orchestrated, God-created thing. And when we have children, the miracle of birth is a God-given thing. I hope that elevates the value and importance of motherhood. Because if it's God-given, you can't get any higher. I don't care what you value in life. It's not going to compare to what God values. And it's crazy because, yeah, just, I mean, of course, we've all seen the videos of a baby in a womb and growing, and by the time it gets fingers and all that, it's amazing. I was reading, though, a brain study that was done in 2013 on women who become moms. I didn't know this, that a mom, after she gives birth to a child, her brain grows. It gets bigger. There's more gray matter. And the areas it impacts are learning, memory, and the ability to handle stress. Guys don't have that. It's not part of the design. I mean, no, Trevor, you're not a father. You're a mother. Look at the plumbing. You have a womb. You have a drinking fountain. I guess that's a way to put it. I don't know how it's it. And if you really, like, start looking at it, it gets pretty crazy. Just the whole maternal, paternal distinctions based on body chemistry. It's interesting because they believe that the mom's brain grows at birth because of a release of estrogen, oxytocin, and prolactin. Chemicals. Guys don't have that. God uniquely. Not to mention the profound, amazing thought of when a child comes out, it has an instinctual sucking sensation, and all of a sudden, mom's drinking fountain is fully filled up after birth. I mean, it's a miracle. It literally is. So it has the two components. It's got the practical, the physical, it's got the emotional, it's got the relational. And if that needed to be clarified, okay. But more than that, I think it needs to be exalted to where it's never under, you're not oppressed, you're stepping into a God-given role. You're not insignificant, you're doing the work of God versus the work of corporations. And you're stepping into the divine, how God made it. I want to read another passage before we wrap it up here. And it's written from Paul the Apostle, to a pastor named Timothy. And the Apostle Paul was in jail at the time of this writing in 2 Timothy. He wrote Timothy two letters, 4 years apart. And he knew Timothy for about 20 years in ministry. They went on missionary journeys. And Timothy was a young kid. And Paul's got a special place in his heart for this person he really mentored and arguably was his spiritual father. And at the time, Timothy was pastoring in a big church called Ephesus, and he was getting a lot of pressure from the congregation because he was young and people were looking down, and he'd even been at points where he was brought to tears. So Paul is in prison in Rome. This will be the last letter that he writes, and he decides to write it to Timothy. So it's kind of his last will and testament, because after this, he gets executed. But listen to these words. To Timothy, my beloved child. See, there's the spiritual father piece. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. I remember your tears. I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. And I am reminded of your sincere faith, your honest faith, your authentic faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you. Heartfelt, reflecting back 20 years. and he's reminding him of his mom and grandma. And the reason he's doing that is because he is saying, Timothy, the sincere faith that I'm confident you have got handed to you. First by your grandmother to your mom, and then from your mom to you. Because we know Timothy's dad was Greek. He's a Gentile. Which means, Timothy, the ministry that you're involved in is more than you. It's bigger than you. You're part of a link or a lineage of spirituality in the gospel. And so, this isn't just you, bud. Your life was impacted by other people, and you're gonna, moms in particular, and you're gonna impact other lives. This is another important truth about being a mom. Number two in your outline, it leaves a lasting legacy. It leaves a lasting legacy. And I just hope you're encouraged today, moms, to know that your effort, your work, your care will carry on beyond you because of your kids. You're not just changing diapers, you're changing culture. You're not just teaching your child, you're teaching a generation. You're not just directing or protecting your kids from fill in the blank. You're protecting and directing multiple kids. I mean, think about it. We read 1st, 2nd Timothy, and Timothy wouldn't even be Timothy if it wasn't for Timothy's mom. And Timothy's mom wouldn't even be Timothy's mom unless it was for her mother, Lois. Now, sometimes that's hard to see, because I don't think they would have known this. I think they would have been shocked to know that their name is mentioned in the Bible. They weren't thinking that at the time when they're instilling and directing and guiding their son or grandson, Timothy. But here we are 2,000 years later. And when you look at the legacy of moms in the Bible, it's profound. Moses wouldn't be who he was or even alive if it wasn't for Jacob, his mom. Samuel, think about his impact with David and all that. Wouldn't be who he was if it wasn't for Hannah. John the Baptist and Elizabeth, not to mention Mary and Jesus. Motherhood leaves a legacy. Fatherhood does too. But there's something profound about a mom's touch. We dedicated these little babies. But one day they'll be Mr. and Mrs. Fill in the blank. I just did a wedding 3 days ago. Family friend. And I just saw it front and center. Because this couple, the bride's side, is the family friend. And the bride, in my mind, is a little girl that's 8 months old. Oh yeah, so I had the double benefit of the dad's choking up and I'm choking up because I'm like, what just happened? It used to be KK, little KK, and she used to play fishy-fishy in the brook, leaving something on my hook, and we camped together and had all these memories together. Now here she's a beautiful woman ready to become a bride. Wow! But that's reality. In fact, I think the more moms picture Mr. and Mrs., the more it ups the value, ups the investment, keeps motivation going to know that it's gonna way outlast your heartbeat. Pretty cool. Really cool, actually. And this is, quite honestly, why children's ministry isn't just babysitting. It's legacy building. When you help out in the children's ministry, you're not just helping out, you're investing in the future. 1 hour at a time. Arguably the most important ministry. the forming years, the transformative years, the impression years, to where women can be moms even though they're not biological, impacting generations. My mom died 23 years ago. And I remember when Mother's Day would come around, she would always say, every year, and it kind of bugged me, but she'd say it every year, don't get me anything for Mother's Day. I just want to spend time with you. And I was like, oh, can't we just do a lunch? Can't we do it? Well, can we come for a day? A day? I feel terrible now saying that, right? Why is it you get full wisdom just before you die? That you don't kind of have those impressions when you're young, you know? But so I feel guilty. And I would, but more I think back, I'm thinking, why did she want to spend time with me? It's not like I'm this amazing person. I'll tell you why. I was her investment portfolio. She gave to me her heart, life, and soul. And so for her, this was like looking at a portfolio that paid off. Show me that bank statement again. Right? I mean, that's a weird analogy. I don't even know why I used it. But you get where I'm going. Maybe guys, you relate to that part. Show me the new car again. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my mom. It's got so many steps along the way. My mom was the first one to become a Christian in our home. I followed right behind her. So I know, as a mom, what I'm saying is ringing with your heart. Because God made it that way. It's not because I'm wise and know what I'm talking about. It's because I'm just talking about what God's talking about. But I also know that you can bless a mom by just giving them a call. Not a text, not a card that somebody else wrote, and you just put love, whatever. Give them a call. Tell them you're thinking about them. Listen, ask questions. You may learn something that will even play into a legacy now. I don't know one mom, I'm sure there's one out there, but I don't know any that would say, I'm kind of busy right now. Can I call you back? They'll drop whatever. So you can bless, be part of the blessing of the legacy by not only how you act, how you behave, but how you remember. I guarantee you, Eunice was proud of Pastor Timothy. Now, whether Timothy circled back on Mother's Day and said, can we hang out? I don't know. So that's our goal this morning, is there's a little clarity, but also that you're encouraged. And don't let culture diminish, redefine, discount what you're doing. It's a God-given role. And it's a legacy for generations to come. We thought we'd conclude our time together. The worship team basically kind of had a song of blessing that they wanted to present and sing to mom. And so as they get situated, I'm going to just ask every mom here in the auditorium to please stand. It's not a long song, you won't have to stand long. But we hope and pray that this touches your heart as well.
Face shine upon you, be gracious to you. gracious to you, Lord, turn me face toward you and give you peace.
Lord, just pray for the women standing, maybe watching online as well. And just pray your continued protection, an investment into their hearts, into their lives. We thank you that they represent the supernatural gift of having children. We also recognize our moms today that maybe don't have kids. I just pray that you would comfort them and bless them and keep them as well and direct them into maybe another form of mothering if they can't biologically have kids. But for the moms standing, Lord, I just thank you for what they represent, your divine role. And I thank you for also what they're going to represent in the legacy that they leave. I just pray that their day would be blessed, that they would be encouraged in spite of the world around us, in spite of culture that wants to discount it. May they feel encouraged and exalted because of what you're doing in and through them. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, I want to leave you with one last thought. Hold your claps, because this is important. Proverbs 31:28, her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise. Now you can clap. Let's give a hand. It's our heart. You have a blessed afternoon. You're encouraged. God bless you. Thank you for coming, and happy Mother's Day.